All right, let's turn in our Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15. Jeremiah 3 and verse number 15. The Bible says, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." The topic tonight in our class is the pastor and original intent. The pastor and original intent is the name of this lesson. By original intent, I mean original purpose. What is the original purpose for God ever ordaining a position of a man that's called a pastor? Now, the word pastor only appears in two books in the Bible, in the book of Jeremiah, and only one time in the New Testament, and that's in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, which we'll look at here in just a moment. But from these verses, we can find out a lot. And there's other verses and subjects that also can teach us about pastors. Sometimes the word pastor is synonymous with like elders and bishops. You read about that in the book of 1 Timothy, the book of Titus. Titus chapter 1 in particular, the word elder and bishop are synonymous. They're used in the same breath if you'll check that out. But the word pastor is found in the book of Jeremiah. I heard a preacher one time preaching. He was a pretty famous preacher, and he preached a whole sermon once that I heard on the subject of the law of first mention, the law of first mention. And he went through the Bible, and he shows how that when God first mentions something, whether it's a position or a subject or something like that, everything else God says builds then on that first mention of that subject. I don't know whether that's true or not, but this was the first mention of the word pastor in the Bible in a positive light. There's one mention of the word pastor in chapter 2, which is negative. But when it comes to pastors speaking of in a positive light, this is the first mention. And I believe in this verse, Jeremiah 3 and verse 15, we have the original purpose why God wants some men to be pastors. And notice it says, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." It's all in that verse. Now, some of the lessons that are taught in this course on the pastor will be small. Some might even think they're insignificant or trivial. Others will be extremely important. And this is probably one of the most important of all the lessons, and there may be as many as 40 of them, I'm not sure, by the time we get done. But this is one of the most important, and it's one that if you ever become a pastor, you have got to know this. The reason being is there is an adversary called the devil who's going to try to divert your attention away from the original purpose God intended for you to be able to fulfill. Have you ever noticed how, well, maybe you haven't, but if you ever noticed how oftentimes pastors' schedules can become so filled with things to do that the last thing they do is study the Word of God. The last thing they do is study the Word of God. They're so busy maybe administrating a Christian school or administrating church ministries or making hospital visits or taking groceries to people who don't have groceries or giving rides to people who need to go to the doctor or to the hospital or cleaning the carpets in the church and washing the windows and cleaning up the yard and so on and so forth. Well, one of the things that I've tried to do is I've tried to delegate and designate people in our church to cover all of those things so that I can particularly pay attention to the Word of God so I can fulfill the original purpose that God intended for me as a pastor here in Jeremiah 3:15. And that is to feed the people with knowledge and understanding. So notice there's four statements here in Jeremiah 3:15 we'll make by way of introduction. Number one, pastors are God-given. Pastors are God-given. Notice it says in this verse, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart." I will give you pastors according to mine heart. So a pastor has to be God-given. This is not something to do for a man who says, you know, I might consider that as an occupation. No, you've got to be a God-given man. You've got to be a God-called man. There's too many people that look at the pastorate as, well, this is a, you know, this is a something I could do for a living, or I'd like to stand up there and tell them what I think. You know, or maybe their mama called or papa called or something like that, or maybe because their dad was a pastor, they're expected to be a pastor or something like that, which does happen a lot of times in God's plan, but not always. A pastor must be God-given. The only time the word pastor is found in the New Testament teaches us the same thing. Let me read for you Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And he gave, it's talking about God, gifting certain men. So Ephesians 4:11, Jeremiah 3:15, both say a pastor has to be God-given and has to come from the heart of God. That's point number two. God has a heart. God has a heart. Now, you know, when you think of something that's given from the heart, let's say somebody gives an offering from the heart, or somebody gives something to you from the heart. What does that mean? That means they have given something that means a lot to them, to you. Pastors mean a lot to God. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart. I got a little note here on my paper about this subject here, about pastors are from God's heart, in God's hand. Pastors are from God's heart in God's hand. It says about pastors, I'll read what I mean here, and it's not up there, but in Revelation chapter 1:16 it says this, and he had in his right hand seven stars. Verse 20, Revelation 1 says, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. Angels means messenger. Chapter 2, verse 1. These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand. Revelation 3, verse 1. These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. So pastors are from the heart of God and in the hand of God. Now, what is a star? A star is something that gives light and darkness, a guidepost. Those who are seasoned mariners can tell by the stars what direction that they are going in. And that's what pastors ought to be. They ought to be guideposts to help travelers through this world know what direction they are going in. So the pastor is from the heart of God, and he is in the hand of God. God has a heart. God has a heart for the human race. And because of his heart for the human race, he has sent them pastors so they will not be as sheep without a shepherd. The word pastor comes from the same Hebrew word here in Jeremiah 3:15 that is translated into the word shepherd in Psalm 23:1. You know this 23rd Psalm, don't you? The Lord is my shepherd. And so the pastor is a feeder and a leader. That's what shepherds do, but I'm going to have another lesson someday called the pastor and leadership, and we'll talk about him more as a shepherd in that lesson, but this one more as a feeder. Number three, the pastor should feed people. The pastor should feed people. Now, this is where we come to original intent. Original intent. I mean, what do you think the most important job of a shepherd is if he has a flock of sheep? And I don't know how many of you have ever seen it. I wish you could be somewhere where you could. I remember in Germany when I was stationed there in the Army how we would have right outside the camp, we had a big fence around our camp, almost like you see around a prison. Right outside of a camp, there was this German shepherd. No pun intended, he was a man, but he was German. And he would have his flock, and I wouldn't pay a lot of attention to him, but something would catch my attention to watch him all that. Well, what good is a shepherd if those sheep starve to death because he has not led them to food? What good would he be as a shepherd? And that's the original intent of a pastor. He must feed the sheep. He's got to feed the sheep. And number four, in doing that, he must distribute knowledge and understanding. Knowledge and understanding. And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Now, knowledge is the facts. Understanding is how to use the facts. Let me just look at knowledge for a moment. A pastor has to know something. He's got to have some general intelligence. Many men are disqualified from being pastors for a lack of general intelligence. Doesn't mean God can't use them greatly in some other capacity, but he's got to have a general intelligence. And I don't have time to develop this, but have you ever thought of the subjects that a pastor has to speak on and address? And then ask yourself, what other, and I use this word in almost a secular sense here, what other professional do you know on earth that has to speak on so many different subjects and teach people of all different ages? Oh, somebody can be a history teacher to ninth graders, but a pastor has to try to learn and study out subject and get knowledge on all different subjects and then try to feed the people knowledge. So he's got to know some things. He's got to know some facts. And then he's got to be able to present those facts in an understanding way. Understanding means how to use the facts. So he's got to be able to present facts on all kinds of different subjects. But he's also got to know on how to present the facts so people can take what he's saying and understand how to use those facts in their lives. That's the original intent of a pastor. Now, here's where some other men are disqualified. They know a lot of facts in their head, but they never have the ability to have it come out of their mouth. They don't know how to speak facts. They may be brilliant, absolutely intelligent. We've heard, from history about the minds of some geniuses, but they just were never gifted to communicate what they knew. So they can't be a pastor. And you may be very, very intelligent and know a lot of facts and know a lot of scripture and know a lot about everything, but if you can't communicate it from the mouth so people can absorb it, understand the facts, and then know how to apply them in their life, you can't be a pastor. You can't be a pastor. Now, that can be learned. Can be learned, so it doesn't mean you're disqualified, but this is why we stress to people, and especially men and boys, to study the Bible. Memorize scripture, because if you should happen to become a pastor someday, you're going to have to know something about everything and then be able to intelligently present it in a public forum through public speaking, preaching or teaching, so that people will understand what you're saying and know how to take it into their lives and live it out. That is what a pastor does, and that is what original intent or the original purpose of a pastor is. So he's from God's heart to yours. He's from God's heart to yours, and as far as I'm concerned, it's one of the highest callings that a human being can ever have on earth. Maybe the only higher calling could be what we call an apostle or a missionary, who certainly has to do pastoral work as part of his church planting and evangelism. Now, with that in mind, those four things, okay, God gives pastors. It has to be God. It's not some man saying, I think I'll try that for a living. It comes from God's heart. God's heart for a human, the race, he sees them as sheep having no shepherd, and so he raises up men in every generation and says, lead these people. Lead these people. It may be a small church, a country church, it may be a big church, but all over the world, in every town, we've got to have men who can lead people from the heart of God. and they've got to feed people, and they have to distribute knowledge. They can't be a novice. They've got to be a man who knows some things, and then he's got to give understanding. He's got to be able to communicate it. He's got to be able to communicate it. So that's the original purpose. Now, what then is his goal? What is the goal of the pastor? Turn to Colossians 1 and verse number 18. What is the goal of the pastor? Is it to build his own kingdom? Is it to get people to pat him on the back after a sermon, tell him what a wonderful speaker he is? Is it to get a paycheck every week so he can make a living and provide for his wife and children? Is it so he can have a high social standing like a lawyer or a doctor or something? My son's a pastor? No. Look what it says in Colossians 1:28, and get this down now, because if you're going to be a pastor, this has to be one of the main verses. In fact, I'd encourage you to memorize this verse. It's speaking, of course, about Jesus Christ in verse 27 and about God. It says in verse 28, whom we preach. There's the preaching ministry. What is preaching? Preaching is the proclaiming of the truth. Warning every man and teaching every man. Now, what is teaching? It is explaining the truth. Preaching is proclaiming the truth. Teaching is explaining the truth. Now, notice we have to do both. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. Now, here's the goal. That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's the goal. The perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. It says the same thing in Ephesians. If you want to turn back there, chapter 4, I read Ephesians 4:11 earlier, and it says he gave some prophets, etc., pastors. Now notice verse 12, the same thing that we just read in Colossians 1:28. Why did God give us pastors, Ephesians 4:11? Here's why, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. What did we just read in Colossians 1:28? That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. What does this say? For the perfecting of the saints. See, the ministry isn't about me. It's not about me building my kingdom or getting people to applaud me or pat me on the back or getting my paycheck every week or something like that. The ministry is about you, me as a pastor trying to help you, so that someday you can be presented perfect in Christ Jesus. I don't know how the judgment's going to work, but sometimes I come up with these ideas, and they seem to have some biblical basis. But I think there's going to be a day at the judgment seat of Christ where God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to say something like this, Tony, present the Bucco family to me. And Tony Bucco is going to be responsible for his wife and the two children again that God gave him. And I think there's coming a day when we're going to hear this at the judgment. Art Cole, here, Lord, present the Faith Bible Baptist Church to me. And that's an awesome responsibility. And I have to come to the pulpit every week and not think, boy, how can I get a bigger crowd? How can we have a bigger church? How can we reach 300 and 400 and 500 and 1,000 and so on and so forth? Because a lot of pastors are stooping to anything to build their own kingdom. Or, you know, we have to be careful in America because we're a success-driven people in America. Dr. Rod Bell said we should not be driven by success, but by submission to God. And this church is going to be presented to the Lord, and every pastor has to understand someday his name's going to be called out, and it's time for presentation. And so that's why we preach, Colossians 1 and verse 28, and right here, Ephesians 4:12, for the perfecting saints, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And so every time you're thinking about a sermon, you're thinking about feeding people. I've got to feed people with knowledge. I've got to give them facts. I've got to give them understanding how to use the facts. I've got to make it so clear that they'll be able to take it into their lives and it will help perfect them. It'll help perfect them so that when they stand before the Lord, they will have been perfected in this life. So, it says here in Colossians 1:28, whom we preach, warning every man, and notice this, and teaching every man in all wisdom. When it comes to the pastor in original intent, it's to feed people with knowledge and understanding, or as this verse says, all wisdom. Now here's the thing, like I just alluded to earlier, a pastor's got to know a little bit about everything. He has got to speak on almost every single subject. It says, whom we teach, warning every man, and teaching every man in all wisdom. All of them. He's got to touch on everything possible, every single realm. He's got to teach on every subject. He's got to teach on every doctrine, every principle. He's got to touch on the spiritual realm, the emotional realm, the financial realm, the family realm, the medical realm, the health realm. He's got to teach people how to live as single people. In the single realm, how to live in the material realm, how to be good employees, how to be good employers, how to have a good marriage, how to parent children of all ages. He's got to be able to preach and teach on prophecy and on science and geography. He's got to take individuals in the Bible, men and women, both evil and good men, and he's got to teach about good men, and then he's got to teach it with understanding. He's got to be able to teach something about Abraham, give you facts about Abraham, and then understanding on how that applies to you today. He's got to take good men or evil men, and he's got to preach about evil men in the Bible and give you the facts about those evil men, and then he's got to help you to understand how that applies to today. He's got to do the same thing with women. Good women, evil women, and he's got to teach children. He's got to teach teenagers. He's got to teach young adults. He's got to teach senior citizens. There are senior citizens in the church that need to be fed with knowledge, facts on how to be a senior citizen, understanding those facts, how to apply it, and so on and so. So this is why if you're going to be a pastor today, you've got to make sure you at least read through the Bible once a year. Maybe twice a year, and I've heard of some that do it four times a year, so that you're constantly refreshing your mind with all the Bible stories, all the Bible doctrines, all the Bible principles, and so that it's constantly coming to mind. And then you've got to be able to take what you have learned and, as I said, present it in a way so that people will understand it and be able to eat it. You got to be able to give out in the same sermon milk for the babe in Christ is in the congregation and meat for the one that is mature in Christ. Now, a lot of people leave churches in this day and age and they will say something like this, well, I just wasn't being fed there. And sometimes we become very critical of those people. And we say something like, well, you ought to just feed yourself. But you know, if a lot of pastors were honest, their sermons don't make sense. And their lessons don't make sense. And I've heard a lot of preaching, and I've preached some sermons and lessons that didn't make sense. But I've tried to strive hard. I remember something Charles Spurgeon once said in his writing. He said, he strives to speak in such a way that not only is he understood, but that it is impossible for him to be misunderstood. And that's probably why we're still reading the sermons today, you know, 100, 140 years later. You know, if somebody, for instance, was a cook, or they said they were a cook, some guy hired them at a restaurant and says, okay, we've got a big banquet coming up, we've got to have this cake made for the wedding and so on and so forth. Here's your ingredients, and he's got 10 ingredients there on the table, and he doesn't know how to mix the ingredients properly and how to stir them up and how long to cook them and how to, you know, frost the cake and so on and so forth. If he doesn't know how to put those 10 ingredients together and then present it as a cake, he's going to get fired as a cook. And it's the same thing with men who think they can be pastors. If they've got all the ingredients of a sermon, and they don't know how to put the thing together and present it so that from start to finish, people are there and they see, you know, line upon line and precept upon precept. I see where he's going. By the end of the message, I know I not only got facts, but I understand what he was saying and how that applies to me. That man ought to be fired. I mean, you'd fire that cook, wouldn't you? And we've got to have some men that can do that. We exist to feed people's souls. Not feeding is failing. And there's a lot of pastors that don't know how to do that. They're not organized in their minds. They don't have a starting point and an ending point and dots that connect the two. Sometimes their sermons are very confusing. Their lessons are very confusing. Sometimes they're very boring. They may have some good things to share, but they do not disseminate that knowledge and understanding in an interesting way. Some men, they're very intelligent, but they're scatterbrained. And they can't put their thoughts and their words in order. And I've been out with some soul winners like that. Now, you know, I don't want to tell them don't go out soul winning. But there's some of them I want to say, don't say anything anymore. You know, or get yourself a simple ABC outline and read the thing verbatim. And forget about going off wandering on rabbit trails and so on and so forth. You got to get the sinner lost so you can get him saved. And there's got to be an intelligent presentation of the gospel. For the Bible says that unless a person understands with the heart, they can't be converted. And I believe the same is true about a sermon. And if you are a boring man and you can't lift up your voice and you can't be excited and you can't present the sermon, there will be a lesson called the pastor and his sermon later on in this course. But if you're boring, please don't be a pastor. I mean, there are churches today that are just dead. And the man has killed the church who went in there to be a pastor because he didn't know how to preach. And by the time he's done, the church is down, you know, from whatever it was. I was in a church once, went from about 140 down to about 20 people. The man preached, his average sermon was between an hour and 15 minutes. And it was boring, it was scatterbrained, it was all over the place. And people just scattered. Left, never came back. Never came back. And some of those men, God bless them, they mean well, but a lot of them don't even have enough sense to get out of the ministry and let a good man in there, and they'll bury the church before they finally say, you know, maybe I'm the problem. It says here in 1 Timothy 5:17, and I'll have to close with this. It talks about those that labor in the word of God and doctrine. That is the original intent. It says they're worthy of double honor. The word honor means reverence or money. They that labor in the word of God and doctrine. Acts 6:4 says, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And Peter said, we're not going to be distracted. If you read Acts 6:4, we're not going to be distracted by congregational needs. Widows who are not being met, not having their needs met. He said, I'm not going to be distracted. The congregation has got to take care of those widows because I have to give myself to prayer and the ministry of the word and us apostles. That's what God has called us to. So, men, that's the original intent. And I didn't get to some of the scriptures right here, but I think you get the point. We've got to be able to feed people, that's the given facts, with knowledge, facts, and understanding. We've got to be able to present those facts in an orderly way, in an understandable way, so they can leave the church that day and say, you know, I know exactly what he was saying. Whether they apply it or not, that's between them and God. But we have got to work on the sermon. And there will be a lesson on the pastor and the sermon. But that's it. Memorize Jeremiah 3:15. Memorize Colossians 1:28. And if you ever become a pastor, don't ever let Satan divert you from the truths of those words. I always said if I ever had a restaurant, I'd do two things. I'd have a beautiful environment, and I'd feed good food. And I believe if I had a nice environment and I fed good food, people would keep coming back. People would keep coming back. But you got to have a cook who knows what he's doing to feed good food. And it's the same thing with pastoring. If you don't know how to feed spiritual food for people to consume it, then you can't be a pastor. Can't be a pastor. All right, let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word today. We pray you'd bless the many lessons. Help me in the preparation of them and help these men now, Lord, no matter what we learn, to never get too far away from this lesson. Oh God, thank you for your heart. And I pray that from thy heart, you would call some men in this room to prepare to be pastors, to write sermons, to start practicing now, and to learn all the facts about everything they can, to shut off their television and the games and just soak in the Bible. Just become saturated with everything about the Bible. Who knows when they may have to pull it out and use it. And then that they could learn how to speak publicly in both preaching and teaching, to present those facts in an understandable way. I bless our service tonight, the brass practice, our fellowship. Holy Spirit, speak to us and the ladies. In Jesus' name, amen.